This is the Life Truth Network. On October the 2nd, 2016, I was ordained to preach the gospel. The first minister to lay on hands was my father. He gave me two principles: preach the truth and love your people. With those principles in mind, I preach the word. I'm Nathan Caldwell, and this is Protectors of the Book. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It is good to hear those pages turn. I remember you saying something to the effect of, if they're not looking it up with you, it's an insult. Because you want them to do like, you know, the Bereans did, and they made sure it was so. And that's what we always want if we're truly delivering God's message. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions." I'll get to that in a minute, what he's talking about there. "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." But
it's all right.
That's what tuners are for. "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." So what it's saying is this enemy, whoever it was, really laid it on thick with Hannah's, like, "Hey, I got kids. What about you?" You know, not a good thing. "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?' Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask you to remind us that it is well with our soul. We ask you to hear what you have to say in this passage, Lord, that applies to us, even though it's history. We give all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Problems are not rare. Sadly, they are an unavoidable part of this fallen world. Some problems are small. No problem. I don't like the fact that I knocked Dad's guitar down, but it was easy enough to pick up and put back. But other problems, however, take an emotional toll. It seems sometimes that no one understands. What do you do when no one understands? This is the situation Hannah, I believe, felt like she was in. A situation where nobody understood. As a matter of fact, her husband did not understand her. Now, look at verse 3. We know that it says this man, her husband, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. So we know that he loved the Lord. We also see in verses 4 and 5 that when he would make the sacrifice, they would hold a feast. This is actually part of tradition that when you gave certain sacrifices, I don't know all the details, but when you gave certain sacrifices, you would get a lot back. Not everything went to burn up. Some the priest got to eat, some you got to eat. So he got his meat back, and he would give everybody in his family some food. He'd give Peninnah and her son some food, but then everybody could see that Hannah had a bigger plate than everybody else. This was their way of showing honor and great love. So we can see that he loved her greatly. It was a major showing of honor. I almost want to say a preferential treatment type of honor. You know, this is the one who gets the big portion, you know. And so we know he loved her, and at least there's that. I mean, you have the people that love you and don't understand you, and then you have this lady that comes up in verse 6, who I don't know who in the world this is, but this person's a mess. And it doesn't say what she said, but it does say that it bothered her so much that she would not eat. She would just cry. She wouldn't eat. You know, sometimes the pain is so great that we find it difficult to function. Sometimes, let's go back a minute, sometimes there's people who want to hurt you. I don't know why. I think it's ridiculous, but it's the truth. You get involved in anything for Christ for very long, and if you're committed to it, you're likely going to find that out really fast. There are people that don't want you to succeed. There are people that are going to try to hurt you. If not physically, they'll want to hurt you emotionally. I get that they don't agree with you, but come on, let's be civil. You know, even Christians are civil to the people that they don't agree with, but apparently the enemy hits hard. And of course, we know there's a bigger enemy, right? There's a spiritual enemy. There's Satan, who may or may not be behind this. And you say, may or may not. Yeah, trust me, there's going to be a time when the devil's gone and there's still going to be sin because Jesus is still going to have to rule with a rod of iron during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. I want to tell you something. Don't let's not give ourselves too much credit and say the devil makes us sin. We do a good enough job on our own. Okay, and I include myself in that as well. So there is the big enemy, but then there's the people who just want to make us suffer. We don't know necessarily why, but they're there. And sometimes, whether it's from people or from circumstance, the pain is so great that we just can't function. I'm sure if we've been on this earth long enough, we've experienced some form of that pain. Whether it was a lengthy form of it or a short time, there was a time where you were pretty much frozen somewhere crying your eyes out. I've been there. I bet y'all have too. Like, real men don't cry. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. A lot. A lot. Because everybody does. And let's look at verse 8, because here's where the husband doesn't get it. Elkanah says to her, Hannah, why do you weep? I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? In a word, no. Okay, you can tell I'm not a woman. But even I know. And maybe that's because we experienced something similar to this in our family. That when a mama can't have a baby, that hurts. And it don't matter how good the husband is, there's nothing that can fill that spot unless God makes a move. By the way, thank you, Jesus, he did with us. We adopted. And we got our hands full now. A lot of love, though. Her husband meant well. I do believe he meant well. I think maybe he was trying to encourage her, though, really? But I think he was trying. He's like, hey, you know, get over it. Those are really loving words, O'Connor. Just really loving. Thank you for the, shut your mouth and go sit down, you know. Because you know what? I think he may have made the situation worse. Because at this point, I can see the possibility, at least, that now Hannah feels guilty for feeling the way she feels. Because the husband doesn't like that she's feeling this way. Now she's feeling guilty for feeling the way she feels. That should not be. Okay? If you are sad, you should not be made feel guilty for feeling sad. I mean, unless you're sad from some kind of sin you had to give up, then maybe you should feel guilty for feeling sad. But when it comes to something that you just groan in your heart about, no one should be making you feel guilty about that. Our loved ones won't, and this is something we need to know, our loved ones won't always understand what we're going through. Okay? They will probably mean well, but they just won't get it. And if someone who loves you says something that sounds odd or off, try, and it's a hard try, try not to assume they're being mean. Maybe they're just clueless. Okay? But on the flip side, to the people that love the people who are going through, I want to remind us, don't assume you know what a loved one is going through. It is their experience, not yours. I've heard this somewhere before, so I don't claim this, but it's a good reminder that even if you have had the same similar thing happen to you, you still do not know what they are going through because they have a different emotional makeup than you do. So don't ever say, you know, I know what you're going through. I think that's a little insulting if you really think about it long enough. No, you really don't. You really don't. Let us call into memory Job, whose friends were wise at first, when for 7 days they kept silent and just grieved with him. And then they opened their mouth. And that's when all the trouble started. And if you remember, Job was having a bad enough time before the friends started talking. It got worse after that. Sometimes it's best just to be there and not say a thing. So, first, we see her husband her husband did not understand her. Then we have the man of God, Eli, who misunderstood her. Look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, I think the no razor thing might be something to the effect of a Nazarite vow. Not 100% sure on that, but the point is she was... what she was saying was, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him right back to you. Okay? This is the vow that she made. And I think that at least to some extent, we need to be making the same vow anyway. Lord, my children, I give back to you. Now, I'm glad they don't have to go anywhere right now. But I want them to serve the Lord. What does that mean, really? That means I better kick up the way I'm acting. Because I tell you right now, I'm not the best parent. I'll be honest, I'm not. But that just means I try harder. I try to do better. And I think it's okay that Max hears that. I think that's fine. Because I want him to know, I am acknowledging I'm not where I need to be, but I want to be there. But what I want more is for both of my kids, and God can do it, okay? For both of my kids to grow up wanting, well, saved, of course. Max has trusted Christ. But I want them to grow up wanting to serve the Lord. It's like, well, how do you want them to do it? God can take care of that. I just want them to serve the Lord. Now, verse 12, we see, came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Well, what that means is he saw her mouth a-moving. He's like, wait a second, something is just not... Look, and we'll get a little more explanation when we go to verse 13. Say, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, there's two things I see in this verse, okay? The first thing I see in this verse is Eli is misunderstanding the whole situation. He marked her mouth, meaning he saw her lips move. She wasn't saying nothing. He goes, oh, great. Oh, great. I think Eli about had enough at this point. He's like, because being drunk, the temple ain't the place to be drunk. And this is what he's thinking. This woman's drunk and she's in the wrong place. But Hannah wasn't drunk. We'll see in a minute she explains that to Eli, but there's something I want to note here first. Hannah was not drunk. She was praying, but she was praying in her heart. Do you know how powerful that this verse is to me? Because there have been times where I would ask the question, does God hear me? Because I'm not speaking. Does God hear me? And the answer in this verse screams out loudly, yes, he hears you, because he hears the heart. There are times where you cannot speak what you feel. Reminds me of where in the New Testament the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit sometimes has to talk for us. The Lord hears the heart. Look at verse 14. Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. You know, this ain't the place to be drunk. I want to tell you something. I know he doesn't want me telling you this, but I need to tell you this. Your pastor is human. He makes mistakes, but so does everybody else. The men of God try. They try. If they love the Lord, they try so hard to do what's right. But man, sometimes we drop the ball. It hits our foot. We kick something. I don't know, but it's a mess when we mess up. And we misunderstand things sometimes. I don't like that we do, but we do. We just have to try a little harder, just like I said a minute ago. But you know what? Sometimes they misunderstand. Now, she answers him. Hannah said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Remember, she hadn't really even eaten anything. I mean, she was pretty sad. But then she said she was doing what? She was pouring out her heart before the Lord. How God's people need to remember to pour out our hearts before the Lord. How often have we as God's people forgotten to get on our knees and pour our hearts out before the Lord? We get so busy. I'm counting myself. Because I'm ashamed to say I don't know the last time I was on my knees praying. Now, I pray. But I don't know the last time I just flat out poured my heart out before the Lord. I think we need to. I think if we, Lord knows there's always something wrong in this world. And if we would give that to God before we start our day, somehow, you may not be able to get on your knees. I wake up at 4 in the morning. But you can talk to the Lord. Let Him know your situation before you start the day. He already knows it. But does He not say also, you have not because you ask not? Let God in on your day. And He might let you in on a better one. Now, she says in verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. So I'm not a pagan. I'm not the devil's daughter. For out of abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She says, I'm not drunk. I'm hurting. Amen. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of Him. Now, basically what Eli was telling her is God's going to take care of this. It looks like Eli was prophesying here to her that God would indeed do as she requested. And the end result, what we're going to see in a minute, kind of lends to that. That, well, he did, so there's a good chance Eli knew what he was talking about. Let's go to verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. What? What? But she was so much hurting before. We don't have to turn there, but I just want to paraphrase / quote because I don't know which I'm going to be doing. Philippians 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, go to the Lord and just, you know, I need you. Pour out your heart. Make your request known. And then it says, do it with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be, guide your hearts and minds, something to that effect. It'll be with you. Amen. That's a whole sermon in itself, but we're not going to preach it today. But the point is, she trusted God. She counted it that God answered her prayer. Now, whether we get our desire or not, is it not better to give our worries to Him and rest in His loving arms? Okay? God is not always going to say yes. And sometimes, I want to tell you something, I'm glad He didn't in a few times, okay? Well, which time? I'm not going to tell you. But I bet there's times in your life where you could say the same. Man, I just prayed so hard to the Lord that He would do this. I'm so glad He didn't do that. But whether we get our desire or not, 1 John 5, and I know, okay, at least for me, I know it's hard to trust the Lord sometimes. I get it. Preacher saying that? Well, if I didn't, would I be dishonest? Is it not true? 1 John 5, though, says something very interesting. And it has given me comfort and help in the past. And it says, if you are siding with God in what you ask, it's yours. It's yours. What I mean by that is, if you know without a doubt what you're asking for is what God wants, you've been heard. Now I understand that most likely we have to deal with free will when it comes to people getting saved. But I do want to give you a story. I was having doubts of salvation at one point, and so I was getting some counseling. This was at a church camp. You remember Steve Veazey? He was helping me. And I remember going back, and I had been assured of my salvation. Not by Brother Steve, but hopefully by the Lord, you know. But I remembered this verse, in 1 John 5, the verse I'm talking about. And I said, you know, you said if we pray something and it's your will, we've got it. So I pray somebody get saved tonight. I said, now, I'm not going to say, I wonder if somebody got saved tonight. I'm going to say, I wonder who got saved tonight. Do you know that somebody came up? I guess heard me talking to Brother Steve. Somebody came up later and said, I want you to know I was the one that got saved tonight. Tell me God don't answer prayer. She trusted the Lord. Verse 19. Sorry, I may need to go back to verse 18. Hold on just a second. Nope, verse 19 is right. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, you see, the Lord remembered her. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. But there's something we need to see first. You say, really? Something we need to see first? Oh, yeah. It's kind of important. Where it says Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, there was only one person born of a virgin. And it's not Samuel. Which means if that had not happened, the prayer would not have been answered. Now here's what I'm saying in all of that. There are many times where God hears us, but action is still required on our part. As one preacher put it, that's interesting. As one preacher put it, sometimes we got to put feet to our prayers. But God remembered her and He answered her in verse 20. But first, I want to, because I don't want to miss this. Because we saw that her husband didn't understand her. We saw that the man of God misunderstood her. But God remembered her. God understood her. Amen. Verse 20 says, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You talk about a way to remember what God's done, naming her kid a name that apparently has something to do with the fact that she asked him of the Lord. That's pretty cool. We are not guaranteed to get everything we want. But God will provide what we need. Let us note that God waited until she asked before opening her womb. I see two observations here. One, God may have shut her womb so that His glory would be shown both in the answering of the prayer and in the person of Samuel, her child. That's possible. Another thing that we need to note, though, is sometimes we don't have simply because we don't ask. It's like, why? God knows I need it already. I tell you, I have a suspicion. I can't say I know why God does what He does, but I have a suspicion. You want to hear it? My suspicion is this. If we didn't ask and God answers us anyway, we'd think we did it. But because we ask God, knowing we can't do it, when it happens, we know God did it. Now, is that tangled up or did y'all get that? Okay, sometimes He waits for us to ask so He can get the glory out of it instead of us trying to claim it. Because ain't nothing that happens good to us that we did. I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but it's all God. All every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. When we think no one understands, I want us always to remember that God does understand. As a matter of fact, Jesus understands us fully. He became a man, lived a perfect life. Now, He was tempted like we are, but He ended up not sinning. Then He gave up His life on a terrible, torturous cross, was buried, and then rose from the dead. He did all this so that we could be rescued from our sin and its eternal consequences. He took our sin so we could have His righteousness. And all that needed to be done is trust. Trust Him to forgive you of your sins. Trust that He will do what He says He will do. He will make you a new creation, making it easier not to sin by always creating a way to avoid sinning. He always makes an escape. Now, I say easier. It's not always easy, but it is easier. Now, He will secure you so that when you do sin, you'll be forgiven. But He will change you so that sin no longer has the appeal it once did. Now, somebody might say, well, I like the appeal of sin. I don't want that changed. Well, then you don't need to come to him. You do, but right now it ain't going to do you much good. See, the apostles preached repentance and faith. John the Baptist preached repent. Jesus preached repent. Well, what is repent? Does it mean change what you're doing? You can't change what you're doing. Somebody has to change you. Jesus is that somebody. What repentance is I know I'm probably going to mess up, but I don't want it no more. Oh, there are times my flesh wants it. Please don't miss it. But when I sin now after being saved, it's not the same. It's not the same. Now, sometimes my flesh wished it would be, but I can't go back. Amen. And I'm glad, my spirit is glad it's not that way. I don't want to go back. Sin does not have the appeal anymore. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit is there with me going, you should not be doing that. Think nobody understands. I want to tell you, God understands and Jesus understands more than you'll ever know because He was here with us. And I want to tell you something. He's still here with us in the form of the Holy Spirit and in the way that God the Father somehow is always here, because the Bible talks about God being omnipresent. You can't hide from Him. God understands and He wants to hear your prayer. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted Him for that salvation, that forgiveness of sin, don't ask Him for anything else. Unless you're asking that He show Himself or something like that, and I don't mean physically because that ain't going to happen. Well, it is, but it'll be too late then. Some people just need to be shown the truth and want to make sure it's true, and I can respect that. But don't make a request of the Lord like Hannah did, because you won't get it answered. Because He's waiting for you to call on Him for salvation. Because your greatest need is that. After that, see, this is pretty good here. Before salvation, your greatest things you think are huge that you need, God's probably not going to hear you. But after you're saved, even the tiniest thing that bothers you, that you think, I don't want to bother God with that, He wants you to bother Him with that. It's no bother to Him. Amen. The Bible says, cast all our cares on Him because He cares for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to You today. We ask Your forgiveness where we failed You. We ask that if somebody does not know You, that they accept You before it's too late. Use the rest of this service in a way that You see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.